An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time feed you some more football, NFL Lunch style. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Monday. Getting back to Kyle Van Noy. He was on Pat McAfee's show last week, talking about various subjects, including Zach Gore getting more credit as he deserves more, about him getting to the quarterback, which he's done at a career-high pace, 20 and a half sacks in his 29 games here in Baltimore. Also talking about Roquan Smith and his leadership abilities, as he is the leader on that defense. But here he is talking about Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson, if you forgot, let me just run down a couple of these numbers, which are pretty damn impressive. Keep in mind, this is a guy that's already won two MVPs, including last year. Career-high touchdown passes, 39. Four picks. Quarterback rating, 121.6, completing 68% of his passes, or excuse me, Nolan, 67.9%. It's 68. I mean, we round it off. I mean, it's like it's a grade in school, correct?
It's up there. It's a good number.
And he's rushed for 852 and four TDs. So he's doing some pretty awesome stuff. And Van Noy was here for last year's Most Valuable Player win. What do you think about Lamar taking that game, Kyle, to the next level?
I mean, he's playing unreal right now. I got nothing but love for LJ. It's so fun to play with a player like him. I'll always say he's one-on-one. It's crazier in person, too. I don't think the TV and camera and all that does justice to how elite he is with the ball in his hand. It's electric, and he makes everybody else play better around him. And the way he's locked in right now, and before the game, this game happened to be the locker next to him. He just kept saying, it's up, it's up. It's up, KV. It's up.
And
I was like, yeah. After the game, I was like, yeah, boy.
Look, they see it in real time, literally standing on the same field as him. And the things that he brings to the equation, and the criticism of the deep passes, the criticism of the inability to overcome double-digit deficits. And that's all been kind of put to bed for now. But, Nolan, we do have to bring up the reality of the situation is, once they get to the playoffs, will he keep putting up 120, 130 perfect quarterback ratings trying to get this team to New Orleans for the Super Bowl?
Right. That's always going to be the big question until it's fully answered, because, well, I mean, looking back on it, 19 and 23 in particular, the two MVP seasons, there's really no way to wrap your mind around him and the entire offense, for that matter, playing so well for dozens of weeks in a row. You know, 19 with a long winning streak. Last year, they were as hot as anyone down the stretch. Number one seed yet again. Why do they look the way they do in the playoffs versus the way they look in the regular season? Sure, the stakes are higher, but is there really that much different that would lead to a night and day difference in performance? It's hard for me to wrap my mind around from a fan perspective. People in the media, even the players themselves, seem like they don't understand it. But until it happens, until they change it, the criticism's only going to get louder.
Ravens clinching a playoff spot, winning a division, and now even Lamar winning another MVP, possibly. Realistic possibility. Met with a yawn by a lot of people. I mean, that means the bar has been set really high. But to your point about team getting hot at the right time, 2019, they won 12 in a row going into the playoffs. Last year, arguably the hottest team in football going into the playoffs. Last time the Ravens won a Super Bowl, 2012, they limped into the postseason. They lost, what, three of their last four games, or four or five, whatever it was, in a rather pedestrian AFC North at that time. So here they are getting hot again. They won all three games since the bye during that little 11-game window where Pittsburgh's lost three in a row. That's why Baltimore's in a position to clinch. So, again, we've been there, done that. We've danced this dance with every scenario. Now do they dance down in New Orleans and see if they can exercise that championship demon?
And I am eager to see them play on wild card weekend, because they won't be getting the first round bye. We know that. We've known that for a while. But still a very capable team, right? And again, we keep talking about 19 and 23, but when Lamar was at his best, which whether he wins MVP this year or not, we can still put the 24 season next to 23 and 19 as the elite Lamar years. Those 2 years prior, they were the top seed. They had the bye. That comes with a little bit extra responsibility. It changes your schedule, your preparation, especially if week 18, you're already not playing for anything. This is different. They've got everything going for them. They've got the MVP caliber quarterback. The team's getting hot at the right time. And it's almost like they'll get rewarded for that, that, hey, here's a game for you this very next weekend. There's no downtime. There's no rust versus rest debate to be had. Just line them up and go play. It's like another week of the season. There's no, I don't know, there's no stopping the momentum, if you will.
Ain't no stopping us now, as I said way back. McFadden and Whitehead, if memory serves. Anyway, we get back to the MVP. So we heard Kyle Van Noy talking up Lamar, taking it to the next level. And John Harbaugh, remember before the season, said, I've got the best quarterback in football in the world. And Lamar Jackson. Well, Sean McDermott, what do you think of this whole MVP conversation?
Josh Allen's the MVP. I've been around this league long enough to know, to see MVPs every year for many years. And what he has done on this team, in this organization, in this community, and no offense to anybody else, but I've got a hard time believing that someone's done more. I really believe that.
Well, across the board from a passing perspective, Lamar exceeds Josh Allen, who, by the way, is not having a crap year. He's having a hell of a season. And let's also remember, ladies and gentlemen, a year ago this time, he was getting destroyed for turning the ball over three times every game. Pick here, fumble there. It was just, what do you do? It's like almost trying to lose the games for that. But 28 touchdowns, six picks, 101.4 quarterback rating, 63.6 completion percentage, 3,700 yards. He's rushed for another 531 with 12 rushing touchdowns. So he's accounted for a ton of TDs, 18 touchdowns in what, their last five games he's responsible for. So he's having a big, big season. If Lamar doesn't get it and Josh Allen does, I'm not running hot with that. And quite frankly, I'll listen to the Saquon Barkley argument too. Joe Burrow wins it, I might have a problem with that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, I was saying a little bit earlier, the first place votes, I could see it being split 50-50 between Allen and Jackson. But this whole thing, pitting those two against each other, and it makes sense. They're two of the best of their era. They were drafted the same year. They're certainly two of the best in the AFC that they should, in theory, have to go through each other if they want to make championship runs throughout their careers. But it feels like this whole debate between the two of them started last year, but Allen finished fifth in MVP voting last year. It wasn't like he just came up short of Lamar. He had the one first place vote that was the difference between Lamar being unanimous and not. But there, you know, Dak Prescott finished second. McCaffrey and Purdy both finished ahead of Josh Allen last year. So this idea that, you know, Allen's had the MVP award elude him, it's been just out of his grasp for multiple years of his career, and now is the time where he's finally got the case to beat Lamar. That's not the case. He's never been this close to being MVP worthy in the past.
And we go back to that draft class of 18. Lamar and Josh Allen were the two most scrutinized of the first round quarterbacks taken. Baker, Darnold, then Allen, Josh Rosen, then Lamar. Josh Allen, Lamar, MVP candidates for their respective teams, both going to the playoffs. Baker's reinvented himself in Tampa. Same with Sam Darnold with Minnesota. Josh Rosen's been out of the league for, what, 3 years now? But here it is. Josh Allen's inaccurate. Lamar should be a wide receiver, and yet here they are, the leading candidates for the most valuable player with two teams capable of getting to and even winning the Super Bowl. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, look at our picks for this NFL weekend. Three games Saturday. Of course, a bunch yesterday, and there's one tonight, so stay tuned for that. And then Kyle Goon, Baltimore Banner, talk about the Ravens, how they look heading into this matchup with Cleveland to clinch the AFC North. And Corbin Burns, he's gone. What's next for David Rubenstein and Mike Elias?
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Time to get to the picks. No college games. We didn't dive into that pool because we'll save our selections for the college football playoffs, which resume tomorrow. Penn State taking on Boise State, and then three games on New Year's Day. It was mainly some National Football League fun. And before we get to how well we did or poorly we did, let's get an updated standings report because Booze is on the line. Mick Alter is for the old Bobster. And then we got Nolan with the Yinglings. And then Vinny, I guess, trying to stomach whatever wine we can afford to pay for him.
Alrighty, standings entering the weekend. Vinny out in front, 217 correct picks. Bob, 8 behind him. I was 16 back, so I'm pretty much out of it. But I guess you had still a fighting chance.
I need a 1964 Cardinals, 1978 Yankees, or 95 Mariners kind of comeback.
Right.
If you don't get the reference, Google it.
There's always the playoffs, too. I don't know. It's weird. The regular season doesn't matter. We all make the playoffs anyway. Yeah. Anybody could still win it there.
Yes. Correct. So
it's just a formality.
All right. All right. Let's do it. What do we got?
All right. Chargers and Patriots first up here. Chargers handled their business and punched that ticket to the postseason in the process. All three of us were with LA.
Yeah. And Justin Herbert was outstanding. The defense is starting to come together. Dobbins is back. That's the team that might be scary in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, at times this year, a little weaker on offense, but you see them drop 40 in this one. I don't care who the competition is. You're right. It could be that team that's rounding into form at the right time.
Yeah, can they handle the weather of Baltimore, whatever that might be? And it's 60 today, so who knows?
Next. Broncos and Bengals. This one was great. Lived up to the hype. And I was wrong. I had the Broncos, you and Vinny with the Bengals.
It was an exciting win. Bo Nix played valiantly in defeat, but Joe Burrow was outstanding. What is it? 8 straight weeks with at least 3 touchdowns or some record-setting performance for old Frosted Tips there.
Right, and all 3 to Higgins.
Yes.
Thus emphasizing his importance once again.
How about that?
Even though they will not be able to afford it.
Nope.
Cardinals versus Rams in the nightcap, could not deliver, could not one-up Broncos-Bengals. This one, kind of a stinker. But the Rams pulled it out. All 3 of us picked it correctly.
Yeah, a sterling defensive play by the Rams to seal the victory there as they win with help yesterday, the NFC West. All right, what about yesterday?
Jets and Bills, well, this one was not close. I don't think anyone really expected it to be. The Bills blowing them out, 40-14.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor leads the 2 touchdown drives for the New York Jets.
And all the headlines with the Jets now are just, what is Rodgers going to do? Is he going to continue his career or not? Do the Jets even want him if he wants to keep playing? And then the latest I'm seeing, which I don't know how concrete it is or reliable, that if they decide to stick with Aaron Rodgers in any capacity, that now Wilson, their top receiver, could be saying, hey, why don't you trade me? Get me out of here.
Oh. Ah, well, there's no shortage of drama there. See, Rex Ryan and Ron Rivera are going to interview for the Jets job, by the way. Good luck with
all. Cover all your bases, yeah. I guess. I think they'd probably prefer not to go with either one of them, but just a hunch. Packers and Vikings, huge implications in this one. The Vikings, they get the job done. Vinny was alone. He picked the Vikings, Bob and I, with the Pack.
Yeah.
Nothing really to say.
Well, Minnesota was kind of thumping them, and then Green Bay made it interesting late for sure. But Sam Darnold, his brilliance continues. And I saw a picture on interweb just 2 years ago. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold were the Panthers' 2 quarterbacks.
They can't get anything right.
No.
Raiders and Saints. Difference in opinion on this one. Bob and I had the Raiders. Vinny with the Saints. It's kind of a toss-up when you're trying to pick a winner. Both are bad. There's your analysis. And in the end, well, they were still both bad, but the Raiders a little less bad.
Yeah, Puffy pants them, as a matter of fact. Abdullah over 100 yards. Brock Bowers setting tight end receiving records for rookies there.
As expected, moving over to the Colts and the Giants. A little Flacco mania here, but the Giants actually showing a pulse their fan base not happy about it. They wanted the tank. They're booing them for playing that well. And all three of us picked the Colts.
Yeah, and the Colts, not a stellar performance by any stretch of imagination by their defense, as Drew Locke shredded them to the tune of four touchdowns. We will say that Malik Nabers is a keeper there at wide receiver for New York.
Yes, and he was asked about it. I feel like every week he plays well, and then the media just hounds him, trying to get him to say the wrong thing. And this week they were asking him, hey, the fans didn't want you to win this game. What do you have to say about that? I'm like, get off the kid's case.
Yeah.
Let the good player be the good player. Don't drive him out of town. Let's see. Buccaneers, Panthers. All three of us picked the Bucs in this one. And, you know, they took care of business against the Panthers.
Yeah, five touchdowns for old Baker Mayfield there. Mike Evans, another stellar performance. And right. That McMillan kid, the rookie receiver, he had two touchdowns, yeah. Too.
Titans and Jaguars here. Vinny, the only one to get this one right. He picked the Jags. Bob and I, trying to make up some ground, took the Titans.
Yeah. Bad decision. Next.
All righty. Dolphins, Browns. This one, I was way off base. Just taking the Browns, a hope and a prayer. Dolphins, though, they get the job done. Great defensive effort.
Yep, 6.5-point favorites, and they cover 20-3. Cure for insomnia, however, if you were an offensive football fan.
Right. And Cowboys and Eagles here, all three of us were going with the Eagles, even with some quarterback uncertainty. Didn't seem to bother him. Kenny Pickett, just fine. 41 points for Philly.
And Saquon eclipses 2,000 yards against Dallas. Now he gets to maybe break Eric Dickerson's record against his former team.
The stage is set. That's all we wanted.
What was that clip during one of them early Hard Knocks? Not like he's going to rush for 2,000 yards or anything.
Oh, wait.
No.
And lastly here, the Sunday night game. This was a good one. Falcons and Commanders needed overtime. Commanders get the job done. All three of us picked Washington. And even still, though, the Falcons, their second half stumbling, they're not done yet. They're still in it. They still got a shot at the division next week, even if they need some help.
Yeah, if they would have won out, they would have won. Now they need Tampa to lose. We'll get into those scenarios. And tonight, Detroit at San Francisco, a game you can hear on 105.7 The Fan. Lions, 3.5-point favorites over the eliminated a couple of weeks ago 49ers.
Well, maybe I'm a little surprised that this is only 3.5, considering the difference in skill between these two teams. I don't care if the Lions are the road team here or not. I probably would have had them favored by closer to 5. So I'm picking Detroit. And Vinny's pick, he's also going with the Lions.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Detroit as well. Sets up that big heavyweight tussle coming up next Sunday night for the number one seed in the NFC. We'll come back, talk Ravens and Orioles with Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. And then that game we just talked about, Lions and 49ers. A little Monday Night Football fun for you here on 105.7 The Fan. Here to talk about it, and then some. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's with the Baltimore Banner. Let's welcome back to the show Kyle Goon. Kyle, thanks for joining us. Happy New Year to you and the family.
Hello. Wrap up here. I'm actually getting the end of year column of the best of Baltimore and Maryland ready, and you really kind of look back on this year, and sometimes you're like, oh, well, maybe not that much happened. Just got a couple things to get to. But it was a pretty stacked year, honestly.
Yeah, it was stacked weekend, too. And we'll start with Corbin Burns as he turns down whatever offer the Orioles made. And there's been a lot of reports that they exceeded Arizona. They didn't come close to Arizona. They would have set the team record for a contract, which was 160 mil plus for Davis way back when. So what does your intel say? The fact that he's no longer here now means it's plan B in pursuit of pitching. But did the Orioles, Kyle, make an air quotes competitive, fair, acceptable offer to Corbin Burns, and he just wanted to pitch in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, it's always hard to kind of give the fullest account of those kinds of dealings, because obviously it's beneficial for the Orioles to look in it. But I'll say this: Corbin Burns last year, he had kids. He was going back to visit his family who lives in Arizona between starts. He's from the West Coast. I think there was a strong feeling that it would be tough to get him back. Even though it seems like the Orioles did make a competitive offer, I honestly think the reports are pretty valid in that his heart was laying in the West Coast and he was ready to go.
Now, where they go next, and we've heard the trade talk, maybe Castillo, Seattle, or Miller and Dylan Cease, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. At this stage of the minor league, growth into strength, they were number one for a couple of years. Are there any more untouchable prospects left in that Baltimore system that would prevent Mike Elias from swinging a big deal to bring in a starting pitcher? And I guess in his eyes, Kyle, a controllable one at that.
Yeah, I mean, I also look at some of the Orioles vets. I mean, a lot of people are going to look at Ryan Mountcastle based on the offseason they had and the prospects in their system. Obviously, they've got a glut with guys who could play corner outfield or corner infield. But I kind of wonder if it might not be something the Orioles address in the reliever market, a market that's much more robust right now. I mean, there's just not a lot of starters left in free agency. So I kind of like some concepts on trades you're talking about, with Seattle. Dylan Cease would obviously be amazing, but if the Padres are going to keep contending, it's hard to see them letting go of him. So I kind of wonder if the Orioles don't address other needs in their pitching staff and have strong hopes that a guy like Kyle Bradish will get healthy around midseason and really help.
All right, Kyle, let's switch to the Ravens. If they win Saturday, they win the division, as they've been great post-bye, won all three of the games in that 11-day window, as Pittsburgh lost all three, as obviously you're well aware of. As they head into this Browns matchup, as epic 18.5-point favorites, health-wise, how are they feeling? Is Lamar going to be on somewhat of a pitch count if they're winning by 21 at halftime? Does he roll through? How big is the MVP in this whole scenario on top of it?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is win the AFC North, secure that first round home field, and the Ravens know it. So I'm expecting that they're going to do whatever they can to ensure that's a victory. I mean, maybe if the margin is really 18 points or more, then we're going to see Lamar and the starters out. But I don't really foresee the Ravens ceding that possible home field advantage in the first round. Out of fear or concern for injury and whatnot. I mean, even though, like, people have been talking about, oh, well, it's a more favorable matchup if you're the 5 seed and you face the Texans. It's pretty favorable to start out at home. And I don't think they're afraid of anyone who would be coming to the building. Anyone that they would be matching up with in the playoffs would be somebody they beat in the regular season. So I think it's just secure the AFC North, secure first round home field, and take care of business from there.
Now, as the offense has been one of the best in football all season long, on the other side, the defense, maybe not so much. And in particular, the pass defense. Zach Orr now getting some praise. And, I mean, you're around the team. And Marlon Humphrey said for weeks, he said, "It's the scheme's fine. We're just not executing what the defensive plan is." Now we're starting to see some execution. What has been, Kyle, in your opinion, the key to this defensive turnaround? Why is this a ball club now that not only has a strong offense, might even have a championship-level defense?
Well, I can't be a good teammate without shouting out my colleague, Gianna Hahn, who had a great story today on our website, BaltimoreBanner.com, about Kyle Hamilton, our Darius Washington. And, I mean, as you saw in this last Christmas game, our Darius, even though he's 5'8", he can lay out the hammer and really hit guys, right? And I think that switch at safety and making Kyle Hamilton the deep safety, you pretty much tie everything to that. I mean, the guy's a great communicator. I think he's, even though he hasn't been quite as flashy as last year as a playmaker, I think he's evolved as a communicator and leader and taking some ownership. And you know what? I think you mentioned Marlon Humphrey earlier. Shoot, when Marlon Humphrey is making plays and when he's elite, his defense is elite, period. I mean, you saw that at Tampa Bay, Marlon Humphrey makes a couple plays, goes out of the game, and Baker Mayfield has, a great second half. I think really it's up to the leaders of this team to kind of set the tone, and lately Kyle Hamilton and Marlon Humphrey have been doing that.
Kyle Goon, Baltimore Banner, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Monday. Kyle Van Noy, we've been listening to him as he was on Pat McAfee last week, talking about, the team and him with 11.5 sacks. And we talk about, players exceeding expectations. And I said, and I'm usually wrong, Kyle, that Kyle Van Noy getting 9 sacks, I didn't see as a reality. Well, I'll take 8 and, you know, just kind of do what you did last year. But 11.5 was still another opportunity to add to that tally. Is there a stunned surprise level for you that Kyle Van Noy has come in and been even better than he was last year?
Yeah, I'm surprised. And I think, you know, at various moments this early season, you know, I think Kyle's kind of flashed. And he also, let's not forget, in week one, he broke his orbital bone under his eye. So right. You're sort of like, okay, especially at the trade deadline, you're like, okay, how much faith can you really put in 33-year-old Kyle Van Noy on having a career season? And I would be wrong, again, for the second straight year. Both years I've kind of written him off around the trade deadline, said the Ravens should trade for more pass rush help. And, you know, they still might get it at some point, but I'm really impressed with what Kyle's done. He shows the importance of a savvy veteran, a guy who has won at the highest level. And sometimes you just need those guys to really show out to be your best team. Obviously, he soared way above the expectations, even for that.
All right, last thing for you, Kyle. Your angst level with Justin Tucker is what today compared to, say, where it was a month ago?
A month ago I said the Ravens should bring in competition. So if we call that a 9, maybe, I think today it's at a 6. I mean, you know, he's hit 250-yard-plus field goals. And I think it'll take a little bit more to prove to everybody that he's that same guy. But that last one against Pittsburgh, I mean, that was the one he hit against Pittsburgh was tough in windy conditions. And I know in against the Texans, he hit one inside a dome, but that was pretty straight on too. So I obviously like the way it's trending. He hasn't missed an extra point either. That's going to be really, really important, especially if, you know, some of these postseason games are one possession close games. The Ravens are going to need that edge at kicker, and it's nice to see Justin trending in the right direction.
All right, Kyle, what's happening at the Baltimore Banner on this next to last day of 2024?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, we got some stories up about everything we touched on, basically, the Orioles and free agency, the two safeties that have turned the things around defensively for the Ravens, and hopefully by tomorrow I'm going to have end of year. You know, a lot to wrap up, but we'll get to it.
Kyle Goon, Baltimore Banner. Kyle, appreciate it one more time. Happy New Year to you and the family. We'll talk to you before the playoffs.
Happy New Year.
There's Kyle Goon, everybody. Vinny at Haiti 105.7. The Fan will come back, take a trip through the Funhouse, and then Inside Access takes over. And then tonight, later on in the evening, Monday Night Football, Detroit and San Francisco. Orioles, I guess, made a competitive offer. That's what we're hearing. Whatever that means remains to be seen. But it's a moot point now. The question is, moving forward, trying to add to the rotation. I know we've had people call and text in saying, hey, just grab at some bats. Maybe throw another arm or two in the bullpen. You can make do with what you have. Let's keep in mind they're going to be good defensively, too, we would assume. And you got two Gold Glove finalists in Mullins and Moo Man. O'Neal's got two Gold Gloves as he's won. Other options, I'm sure, would be part of the equation. Infield, Gunner had a bunch of ease last year, but the defensive potential is extremely high. Mountcastle's been a Gold Glove finalist, unless he gets traded, which seems to be... That's the name, Nolan, that keeps popping up the most in addition to insert prospect here. Mountie seems to be the dude that could be on the move. Let's keep in mind, too, that Mullins and Mountcastle are looking right in the eyes of free agency after 2025.
Right, and that's a huge factor. You know, that's in the back of Mike Elias's mind for sure. I would just wonder, you know, after his most recent seasons, Mountcastle we're talking about, what is his value? You know, because Orioles fans seem very quick to throw him, like you said, in that trade conversation as an asset to land you a bigger fish. But does he carry the weight of some of their prospects that they've already dealt away? I'm not so sure about that. You know, he's still got youth on his side. We think he's a capable player. The defense, like you mentioned, and the power in a different ballpark could still be there. But I don't know. I think with him already being pretty well established at the major league level, I'm not so sure that his value is high enough to really net you a great starting pitcher return, at least by himself.
Yeah, if you're the Mariners who want to bolster your offense, and he would be the perfect fit for what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to make sense, but Ryan Mountcastle alone is not getting Shelby Miller, not Shelby, Bryce Miller. Bryce, who signed, but Keller is an interesting name that Jacob Calvin Meyer brought up with the Pirates. He's just signed an extension with them. He'd be an interesting pitcher to pursue. But we'll follow along with Mike Elias and see what he's got up the old work sleeves there. Ravens, they're back at practice today, getting ready for the Browns. That game coming up at 4:30. And Maryland is ranked in the men. They're ranked number 24 in this week's coaches poll at 11-2. And still number 26 in the AP, right outside of the top 25 with Baylor back at that ranking. Number one of both polls, by the way. Well, number one to the top four is the same in both Tennessee, Auburn, Iowa State, and Duke. That's your top four in both the AP and the Associated Press.
Right. It's good to be in that conversation. Good to have the recognition that the media is already looking at you, whether it's purely based on nerd stats, as Bob would put it, or whatever they're looking at the Terps for. It's just nice that they're on the radar, that even without signature wins, I guess would be the best way to put it. They don't have a signature win. They haven't beaten a top 25 team, but you're already being viewed favorably. That helps your cause.
Yeah, and all those metrics, and we'll see if they can make those metrics reality as the Big Ten season really starts to get rolling here. Inside Access awaits in a matter of minutes. Let's go to the funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Speaking of Maryland, this first texter here says, would have liked to have seen a little more offensive output from the Terps on Saturday, but for that being their last tune-up game before the Big Ten schedule, I can give them a pass. Overall, I haven't felt this good about a Terps team early in the season in a long time. I feel like they are tournament quality right now and still have so much room to grow.
Yep, I agree with the texter on that one. We talked about it earlier in the show with Chris Nockey. Also, Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, thinks Maryland could be one of the four best teams in the Big Ten. Let the season unfold. I mean, we saw them at their absolute best, destroying Syracuse a week or so ago at Barclays, but can't be laying eggs against upper echelon competition. Look, they were only up six with about 10 minutes to go in the game Saturday against UMES. So credit to them for competing too, by the way. Don, I think the spread was like 40 or something crazy.
Insane. Yeah. I thought they were going to drop 100 on it.
Yeah.
They should have. Don in Severna Park says, I'm not worried about Lamar potentially reverting back to, quote, playoff Lamar this year. Don says he's more worried about Monken and the play calling. If Monken decides that he's too smart for his own game plan, stops doing everything that has been working for them all season.
That there's the two playoff losses at home, Tennessee last year to KC, both MVP years for Lamar. It was, what the hell are they doing offensively? And these two teams that were hot, they were putting up points. They were arguably the best offense in football in both years. They're in that category this year. Oh, we'll all be watching that scenario for sure.
And our last texter here says the Orioles are going down in flames this offseason.
Oh, man.
After this past year, the texter says, after this coming season, they will probably start selling off their current youth in the name of rebuilding again. Not even trying to get pitching for the fan base is a joke. I've canceled my season tickets.
Oh, damn.
New owner, same crap. Orioles staring down 75 wins max. No way they contend.
You don't want a free hat? He was handing them out left and right last year in the splash zone. They pumped the brakes. I don't know if I'd be 86 in my season tickets based on Corbin Burns doing what pretty much everyone expected him to do to begin with. But, all right, I understand your frustration. Hey, look, 2021, they were the worst team in baseball. Then again, so is Arizona, and they've been to a World Series and just signed Corbin Burns. All righty, then. We'll end on that note. Tomorrow we're back, 10 o'clock, getting you ready for the Browns. Talk more Orioles, talk Terps, everything, playoff scenarios, college football tomorrow, playoff game. Penn State, 11.5-point favorites over the higher seed, Boise State. For Nolan McGraw, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Monday Night Football. Stay safe, stay healthy. For now, class dismissed.